Alright guys, welcome back to the Haunted Cafe podcast. We're on episode...
Five.
Episode five.
Yeah, I'm just letting you do that because you got the whole ghost noises down. I'm just like... Ooh.
I'm a spoopy boopy ghost.
Alright guys, so to start, we're going to talk about our drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, we also talked about them on TikTok. So go check us out at the Haunted Cafe. I think it's just called The Haunted Cafe on TikTok.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think I added podcasts. I might have. Who knows?
Who knows? if you guys recognize what our icon looks like as the picture, then it's the same one. So just look for that.
You'll find us.
Yeah.
But so we're going to start off with what coffees we're drinking today. We just tried to change it up from tea.
Yeah, normally we drink tea, but we're drinking coffee this morning, which is interesting for her because she's not a big coffee person.
Yeah,
so.
I hate coffee. Which is dull. I guess I just like the caramel creamer in the coffee.
Probably. You like flavored coffee.
Yeah, I like flavored coffee. Like Dunkin' iced coffee with like a lot of creamer and stuff. My best friend.
Oh, man.
All right, so what are you drinking, Allie?
I am drinking Starbucks's Dark Roast Sumatra. And as I had mentioned in the TikTok, that this is a coffee that I used to drink a lot when I was younger, and I had forgot it down at my grandmother's house in Tennessee. And I live in New Jersey, or we live in New Jersey. So Tennessee to New Jersey, it's like a 16-hour drive, depending on the traffic. And I hadn't gone back for like 2 years straight, and I haven't had it since then. So I figured I'd grab it and get a little bit of nostalgia from when I was younger, and it still tastes pretty damn good. So.
Yep.
And what are you drinking?
I am drinking Walmart's Great Value brand cold brew coffee with a lot of caramel creamer. I always say a little bit, but it's a lot.
And I drink my coffee black, too. I don't drink it with any kind of sugar or creamer. I prefer it black because it's just straight. It's healthier for you, for one. Mm-hmm. And it's got that straight-up caffeine that I like. So And I feel like a bit of a cop, though, because I'm sitting here, and I got my coffee, and I got my Edmunds donuts right next to me, and I'm just like eating donuts while drinking coffee. I feel like I should go arrest somebody for no reason.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. With all of that set aside, this episode might be a shorter episode. We're gonna talk about more of a legend, and there's not really a whole lot of like evidence proving that it's true or false, but it's still honestly a really interesting story. So. We're going to talk about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking about the treasure of Deer Island. And Deer Island is in Mississippi. There's also another one in Massachusetts, too. But
apparently there are several treasure islands. I only thought there was one.
Yeah.
I literally only thought there was one treasure island. Like, I thought Treasure Island was just a thing.
Like, no, just that like one thing. Island.
Like, I thought it was just an island where all the pirates would put their treasure. That's what I thought. And I didn't know, realize there were several different islands. Like, pirates knew about it. They all made a decree to not touch each other's treasure. Like,
yeah, that'll definitely happen.
Yeah.
But no,
this ain't Pirates of the Caribbean.
If you ask me, well, even in Pirates of the Caribbean, whatever you want to call it,
Caribbean.
They didn't share their treasure.
No, they didn't.
The first movie, fall over the one cursed treasure.
I wasn't saying to share the treasure. I'd say they made an agreement to not touch each other's treasure when it was on that island. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they didn't do that.
Yeah, no.
Actually, I feel like any island that you go to probably has some kind of tale of treasure being left on it.
Yeah, I know the water levels have risen quite a bit over the decades and centuries and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure if there is a solitary island somewhere out there in the boonies and in the ocean, if you go maybe a few hundred feet down the slope of the island, I'm pretty sure you'd probably find some treasure at some point.
Well, we're actually going to talk about that a little bit.
It's
kind of something that I talk about.
I do that all the time. Yeah. I like pre-predict what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, kind of. And I do talk about some of like our podcasts. Like, I do kind of tell you stuff, but I don't think I ever told you about that.
No, because I would have said in the previous podcast, I thought there was only one.
So we're going to talk about the one in Mississippi, not Massachusetts. So, I'm going to start off talking about a newspaper. So, the headline was, Headless Ghost Haunted Deer Island in the Olden Times.
Olden Times.
Yep, and it's spelled, which I thought was cool for some reason, Olden.
Huh? That's funny.
Yeah, how would you spell Olden? I guess like that. Yeah. I can't think
either
of...
Either that or I-N. Olden. I mean...
You're thinking of Odin.
Well, yeah. That's why I said I-N.
Yeah. But anyway. So, that was the title of the history column of the Sun Herald, which is, the town's newspaper. Even from, like, way back then.
Oh, okay.
The column was called Back with Father Time in the Early Days of the Mississippi Coast. A really long title.
Mississippi.
Yeah, Father Time was a man named Anthony Ragustin. Probably not how you say it, but that's how it looked. I'm just going to call him Mr. Tony, because that's what everybody called him. He wrote, "The first known appearance of the Deer Island ghost goes back about 100 years. Which dates the ghost back around, like, the 1800s.
Hmm.
So it's an older ghost. There were two fishermen who landed on the island one night. It was in the days before a railroad went through the south, and there wasn't much to Billox, which is literally the town right... Like, there's the island, obviously, and then there's a town right next to it. Like, you know, a coast. And Billox is how I'm calling it. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but Billox seems pretty... Makes sense.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's the town literally right next to Deer Island.
Hmm.
But, yeah, and it says there wasn't much to Billox back then. The fishermen made a campfire on the island, on the sand, and were making coffee and getting other eats ready, which I thought was kind of a cool way of saying getting food ready. When suddenly they started hearing the palmetto bushes behind them begin to shake, which, you know, palm trees.
Yeah.
They thought it was odd for the palms to be making so much movement in the still night, but they just assumed that the bushes were being moved by a wild boar, so they paid no attention to it. Which, honestly, if something starts rustling, boar or not, you gotta be careful.
Well, even if you assume it's a wild boar, those guys are aggressive as hell.
Yeah,
you should be backing away from that bush right now.
Or at least, like... Or at least, like, paying attention to it,
yeah.
Like, keeping an eye on it. Cause,
just in case, because that boar will tear a hole in your leg very easily.
Yeah, don't they have, like, horns and
Yeah,
stuff?
They got the tusks.
Or, yeah, tusks.
They're friggin' massive. They're not massive, but they're sharp enough to penetrate your skin.
Either way, like, I would still be paying attention to it.
It's just a boar! It's just a wild boar! It's
yeah,
no issue.
You're fine. I mean, you know, they were sitting there cooking dinner, so they probably could have got the boar and, like, cooked it.
Yeah, they probably could. Yeah. How dare you talk about animal abuse?
Yeah, my bad.
Anyway.
I know there's probably going to be somebody like that, but...
You shouldn't be eating wild boars!
Anyway. Well, it's kind of funny, though. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted with the tale, but... Not funny, but... Deer Island is actually known to endangered species now. I don't think it's, like, the boars or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's actually well known to house, like, a few endangered species.
Hmm.
So, nowadays, you don't want to go there getting boars or whatever because it might be endangered. But back then, I don't think it was.
As a note before you start talking again.
Yeah.
These, the all-chocolate Edmonds donuts taste like Fruit Loops for some reason. They have a really fruity coating over top of the chocolate.
Hmm.
And they taste fucking terrible dipped in coffee. Just as a side note. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I had to get that out.
We're going off the rails today. Anyway, so...
I'm a crazy train like Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. So, anyway, they hear all these noises from the bushes, and suddenly the bushes began to move again. And this time, they turned around to see a headless skeleton coming out of the bushes. They moved back a few feet, like towards the water,
mm-hmm.
but the skeleton began to chase them. So they actually rushed onto their boat and got the heck out of there. Obviously.
Just Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Thanks. I need a placeholder. but yeah, so then... and then to me, I said, being brave-ass motherfuckers, they went back to the island the next morning to find all of their cooking equipment exactly where they left it. I'm sorry, but if a headless skeleton comes at me, I'm not coming back the next day. I mean, maybe just because it is daytime, but...
They had to get their stuff back, man. They paid good money for that.
Yeah. I don't know. I would be freaked out. Like, imagine that. Because, like, what I keep thinking is us going camping, right?
Oh, God.
And just...
You already know my stories with that.
Well, yeah. We're going to talk about that later on.
Yeah, that's a whole other episode.
But yeah, I might make it an episode. But anyway, so like, I can just like imagine us sleeping or whatever. And we went to the campground near us, and they actually have a lake near the campsite. Like, it was maybe 10, 20 feet from us.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine like us sitting there by the lake or whatever and hear rustling in the bushes next to us. All of a sudden, this headless skeleton comes out of nowhere and starts chasing us.
Yeah, that'd be fucked.
That'd be terrifying. And you're on a boat, so you gotta paddle the heck out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was the tale that was told by Mr. Tony by a man named Eugene Tibbler Sr. A man who was 78 years old at the time of telling the tale, and someone who has lived near the island all of his life. So he's like a diehard Biloxian, yeah. I guess is how you would pronounce it. He, his son, and his grandson are all locals who knew the coast's history. Their family is honestly a part of the history themselves. The Tibbler family dated back to the French colonial times. And their whole family were fishermen, oystermen, and businessmen. So they have a lot of...
That seems to be, like, a thing nowadays, is, like, fishermen. Like, everything that we've, like, even the Bigfoot episodes, fishermen were talked about. Like, I think even in the hotel episode, fishermen were talked about.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe. But it seems like fishermen seem to have a lot of stories.
Businessmen
and,
have a lot of stories. Well, yeah. Well, but businessmen, they're in everything.
But, yeah, I mean, so far, fishermen have been in every episode, too. Like, you were talking about fishermen in the other one. These fishermen seen, you know, so-and-so. Like,
I don't remember that.
I mean, I might be just recollecting
might be.
Thoughts, but
yeah, but still. But Bilox is like a big the town next to it is a big like fishing area. Mm. Obviously, it's along the coast.
Yeah.
But their whole family has been a part of this town's history. So all of these stories, like the headless skeleton and the other ghosts we're going to talk about, because there is one more, they're all basically passed down from generation to generation of that family.
Hmm.
So whether it's just a story that they came up with or if it's true, we'll never know. But I thought it was pretty cool. yeah, and in being so a part of the area's history, they wanted to keep the traditions alive, like I was saying. So
yeah.
Keep telling the stories.
Yeah. If you guys hear stuff in the background, that's just me making more coffee. I apologize.
Yeah, it's going to probably get loud.
I got donut crumbs in my coffee, and I just couldn't drink it anymore because it looked gross. So I was like, I need a new cup.
Well, actually, this is a perfect time to do an ad break.
Oh, yeah, ad break.
So we'll see you. So, speaking of snacks and donuts and all kinds of good stuff, did you know that we have a channel on YouTube where we just try all kinds of snacks and good stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Snack Praisers.
You should definitely check it out.
Yep. We actually just got done taste testing an MRE for the very first time.
It is the Chicken Burrito Bowl MRE. I have it up on the wall.
You liked it so much.
Yeah. But yeah, so whenever you guys get a chance, head on over to YouTube's. And type in Smack Praisers, not Smack, Snack Praisers, I'm just trying to do play on words. Snack Praisers on YouTube, and give us a like, share, and subscribe. And,
if you like the content.
Yeah, if you like it. If you don't like it, let us know, we'll just tell you why you're wrong. But,
no.
anyway.
Yeah, we're just tasting, whatever you
taste
want
Taste testing.
Whatever the word is.
Just random crap.
Yeah, just random stuff.
Yep.
We have a lot of stuff planned for the channel later on down the line.
Yeah,
we have
quite a bit. This channel is pretty much unlimited because you're never going to run out of snacks, ever.
Or food in general.
Or just food in general. Because we're not just doing snacks, we're also doing, like, meals. Like, eventually we're going to start the ready meal. Is that what it's called?
The ready meal?
Yeah, the thing where you get it delivered. Where it's meals for a week.
Every plate?
Yeah, every plate ready meal.
I was like,
what are you talking about?
What
is ready meal? But yeah, every plate.
We're going to start that. We're going to start challenges, too, where we're going to, like, go against each other making dinners and stuff.
Yep, we're going to get foreign snack packs from, like, Amazon and stuff like that. Try it out, see how it tastes. We got a lot of stuff planned for that channel.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty fun. So, like we said, don't burn yourself with coffee.
Yeah.
And subscribe, and we'll see you later.
Thank you, guys.
All right, so we're back. Coffee's been brewed.
Yes, I have a different coffee this time. I have. I was going to do the same one, but it was really watered down, so I just added some instant Folgers. And Folgers itself is a weak coffee. I need two instant packs in order for me to get the flavor out, like, so I just added one, and it worked. So.
Yep, so coffee's been brewed, we did the ad, now we're going back into the story.
Yep.
So, there's kind of like a part two, not really a part two, I guess it would be more of like the part one to the story that I just told you.
You did the prologue or whatever it's called, and now you're doing episode one. Well, or the sequel. Yeah. Or what? Not the sequel, the second one.
No, prequel, it'd be a prequel.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm doing the prequel to this legend.
What the hell?
So basically, like, there's obviously got to be a reason why that headless skeleton is there. If, you know, if the story is true. So... The legend goes that years before those two fishermen saw that ghost, a pirate ship landed on Deer Island to bury their stolen treasure and prepare for another expedition. Huh. Yeah, not just one island, Alan, a bunch of them. Anyway, after the loot had been buried, the chief supposedly asked, "Who wants to guard the treasure?" An inexperienced pirate volunteered, "It would be my honor to guard the treasure." Just as he spoke that last word, one of the other crew swung his cutlass and cut his head off.
Jesus.
Because, you know, tossing the poor guy's body into the palmettos. So the reason why, I'm not sure if, you know, if anybody got that, but the reason why he was considered an inexperienced pirate is because it's not really smart to volunteer
to guard another pirate's treasure.
Somebody's treasure. Like, oh yeah, I'll guard it, and then dig it up and take it as your own. Yep. So,
yeah,
that's why he's considered. That's why he's considered inexperienced.
Bro, you dumb.
So then the pirate gang returned to their ship and went off to their next exploration. Because technically, he's there to guard it.
I feel like what would like some unspoken word that was added to that was that scene from Kung Fu Hustle. At the very beginning, you remember that movie Kung Fu Hustle? The really good Kung Fu movie at the beginning when that bad guy throws the cop against the wall and he's like, "Anyone else?" Oh. Like, after dude's head gets cut off, you just see the pirate turn around, "Anyone else?" We're like, "No, we're you good, bro?"
Well, because also it could be seen as like lazy, I guess. Like, oh yeah, I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah, just I'm just
going to go fight.
Plenty
anymore.
Of trees, there's shade. I'm not in the sun at all. Yeah. Got plenty of food. I could hunt my own animals. I'm living good.
Also steal the money.
Steal the money whenever they're not there.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd get it out because I don't have a ship myself.
Plus, it is on, like, an island. I mean, there, like I said, there is the coast, but I'm pretty sure it's too far to just, like, swim across. Yeah.
He would attempt it. Anyway.
Yeah. Thus, the story of the headless skeleton began, appearing at times when the treasure seemed in danger.
Hmm. So, interesting.
Yeah. That's what I meant by it was kind of like a prequel to this legend because, you know, obviously it's that guy's body that, you know. There is also another ghost on the island that I wanted to talk about. It is the ghost of Blue Fire.
Okay. Then.
Also known as the Firewater Ghost.
Or the Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah. It could also be the same ghost as this one, just could be like a twist to the tale.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, according to Mr. Tony, the guy that wrote the article, this tale is actually a very common story among the early fishermen who saw this a mysterious object that moved along the water in the shape of a ball of fire.
Hmm.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the guy's head.
Could be.
That was just my assumption.
Spirits.
In times before electric, people would call it the mysterious lantern because it kind of looks like it's going along the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tony actually interviewed Captain Eugene Tibbler Jr., so like the son to the senior guy, which that's why I was like, it's kind of ironic that it's the family telling these stories.
Yeah.
Who was 55 at the time, so the other guy was 78, this guy's 55, you know, about this ghost, because he had seen it with his own eyes, actually. Captain Eugene. Eugene and Lewis, his brother, were rowing a skiff, which I didn't know what a skiff was, so I looked it up. It's a flat, bottom open boat, flat bottomed boat. Kind of looks like a normal boat that you would see people I'm trying to think. Like, you know them alligator shows where it's like a really flat boat and then it's wider, but it has like the sides?
Mm-mm.
I'll have to show you a picture later. But if anybody on the podcast, you know, if anybody listening to this kind of understands,
it's the only thing I can think of is like a raft. That's like when you say flat bottom boat with like little sides, I think of a raft.
Well, you know, like how like boats go like this.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like a flat boat with sides. Hmm. You'll have to look up a picture. But anyway,
coffee went down the rump. Wow. All
right. You're right there.
Ooh, I got lightheaded. Yeah, I'm good.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So it's a boat. they were rowing it back to I think to Billick's.
Mm-hmm.
So the time was 2 a.m. when they saw this light. It was a bluish light that traveled about a foot above the water, Captain Tibbler said. We stopped rowing and watched it move out of sight towards the vicinity of Ocean Springs, which I guess just, you know, another area. Yeah. This ball of light is supposed to be that of a ghost who carries a lantern and makes his rounds across the island. One source I read stated that it might be another version of the headless skeleton. No recent sightings have been reported involving either ghost, like, recently.
So, the fire was blue, though. It was a blue fire.
Mm-hmm.
Was it nighttime?
Yeah, it was 2 a.m.
So, I mean, honestly, if there's no lights on that island and all you see is that one lantern, there's ways to turn fire blue. And honestly, blue is a brighter fire, but it puts out less light throughout the area than orange fire does. And maybe it was just some guy trying to find the treasure himself at night so he wouldn't get caught. And he was just walking around with a blue flame lantern trying to hide himself a little bit. And
that's possible. You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't around, like, the pirate era.
It was some dude literally trying to find it and find out what was going on. And then maybe he just didn't and gave up and decided not to go back. Or he came across the ghost himself. And since it was only seen once, that was the only time he ever showed up.
No, it was seen a bunch of times. Okay, this blue orb was seen, like, a bunch of times.
Well, yeah, it was probably some guy just trying to find the treasure. Yeah.
Either that, or maybe he was just trying to find the ghost, too.
Yeah, could be that, too.
Or, considering that there's, like, you know, boars and stuff like that on the island, maybe he was just hunting them.
He could have, yeah.
And he was just using the blue light so it doesn't, like...
look as revealing. It does, like I said, it doesn't show as much light. Mm-hmm. At least I don't think it does. I'd have to test that out on my Budget Survivor channel, honestly, to see if the blue light actually puts out more light than an orange light, so...
Hmm. That's interesting, actually. I didn't think about it like that.
I should probably write that down. So go ahead and continue your story. I'm going to write that down so I don't forget.
Well, we're getting more so towards the end of it. Like, those were the two tales or the two legends that are really predominant on Deer Island.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to talk a little bit extra about the history of the area, of Billick's mostly. Billick's is literally right next to Deer Island, like I've been saying. During its history, Billick's was taken over quite a few times. According to the official website of Billick's, I guess I feel bad if I'm saying this wrong. according to the official website of Billick's, where I've been getting a lot of my info, at least 8 flags have flown over the area.
Oh, wow.
Like, during its whole history. So it's been taken over quite a bit. Huh. These flags include France, England, Spain, the Republic of West Florida, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Neither did I. freaking Floridians, man.
Yeah, trying to take over stuff. the Confederate flag. And then the U.S. flag itself. The other two flags are actually, like, state flags. And those are the Magnolia state flag and then the current Mississippi state flag. So, to start, I'm going to move this.
Okay. Oh, it's rocking. Yeah, it's
rocking. To start, Billick's was first inhabited by Native Americans. They held Billick's from 8,000 BC until the 1700s. They have found artifacts from 4 different time periods of Native history. In 1697, the Comte de Pontchartrain, I said that completely wrong.
That's a weird name.
Yeah, a French minister of marine gave Pierce Law... I didn't practice any of these words, and I should have. My bad, guys. gave this guy named Pierce orders to locate the mouth of the Mississippi River. On September 5th, 1698, Pierce's crew left France, and on February 13th, so September, October, November, December, January, February, 5 months later, they reached in present-day Billings. The French quickly became friends with the natives already there, which surprised the heck out of me. They actually became friends.
Yeah, instead of like killing them all off.
Yeah, because, you know, sadly, that's how the story of the natives that's
history.
Yeah. In 1763, the French gave the location to the English, gave in air quotes, by the way, until 1779. When the Mississippi coast was ceded to Spain, which basically means given to, or like, you know, they lost whatever kind of battle. In 1810, Billings became part of a short-term Republic of West Florida, which is basically people from Florida, like, taking over areas. Because at this point in time, we weren't, like, the United States or anything. Mm-hmm. We were literally just, like, areas. So, like, West Florida was an area, Texas,
everything was joined created the states.
Yeah, it's basically before everything was how it is now.
It's crazy how separated everything was back in the day to where they can literally just do that. And to have everything joined together, it's actually really cool how they went about it.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. At the time, the consensus of people living in Billings was 420 people. So not that many people.
420, what you smoking?
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. In 1817, Mississippi became a state. So good for you. in 1861, Mississippi pulled away from the U.S. and the Civil War began the fight between the North and the South. You know? And they were a part of the Confederates, because obviously they're in the South. On December 31st in 1861, Billings surrendered to a Union naval force who was operating from Ship Island, which is another island, because there's like a few of them. Yeah. There's like a few of them, you know, spread around. So it's like another island, which I think is actually farther away from Billings than Deer Island. But yeah, so anyway, in 1881, Lopez, Elmer, and Company became the first seafood cannery in Billings, and by the end of the decade, four more canneries had sprung up. So like I said, it was a big fisherman area.
Mm-hmm.
Also at this time, they had a lot of hotels that sprung up. They had the first Mardi Gras parade took place around there too.
Nice.
In 1927, the seawall was constructed to protect the Mississippi Gulf Coast, because, you know, they get a lot of hurricanes and stuff.
Yeah.
Deer Island was used for hunting and fishing during this time, and was even home to an amusement park in
1915. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was like, we're going to talk about it later, but that really surprised me that they put an amusement park on an island.
Yeah.
It's a big island, too. It's not, like, really tiny. Yeah. So, in 1969, Hurricane Camille forced Deer Island's residents to leave, leaving the island abandoned ever since.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that sucks. Fun fact, after I've just said that sucks, in the mid-1800s, Deer Island was twice its current size with an average of 2 acres lost per year.
Oh, wow.
So you remember how you were talking rising. About?
Yep. Yeah.
With all that said, do you believe in the tale?
Well, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, me too.
Like I said, if you were to dig someone down on the slope from the island, you'd probably find it. Like, nobody's probably thought of that because, like, oh, you know, it could just be on the island. It was the center of the island. It probably wasn't. It was probably on the edge of the island because they probably knew that eventually the ocean was going to cover it.
Or even if they didn't think that the ocean was going to cover it, it's still like, one, you're not going to go. I mean, you could go all the way through, but if someone decides to actually take over the island, They're going to go towards the center of the island.
Yeah, they're
going
to go towards the center of the island.
Because they don't want stuff being destroyed as soon as they build it.
Yeah, just like the amusement parks. With all the construction mm-hmm. they had to do, all the digging, somebody was bound to find it.
That's what I was thinking, too. I mean, obviously, pirates aren't thinking of amusement parks being built.
Well, yeah, obviously, but it's just in general. They probably think, like, eventually this becomes inhabited, how deep they're going to go in order to build whatever hut, house, mm-hmm. whatever, they're going to find this treasure. So we need to bury it closer to the sea.
Yeah, and my thought was also, like, at first, when I was reading that there was an amusement park, I'm like, how come nobody found anything?
Yeah.
But thinking of, then going back with the whole 2 acres lost per year since basically, the 1800s. I was trying to figure it out. Two acres lost per year. I don't know how long ago. You know, I'm not going to do all the math, but that was a pretty big island that lost a lot of acreage. And it's still, I think, a pretty big island, too.
Yeah.
So, honestly, if they did bury that treasure is way out at sea right now.
Yeah,
it's not even close to where the land is.
That's probably why nobody's
now.
Actually still trying to look for it, because mm-hmm. they probably realize, like, yeah, we're not going to find it. The ocean has it now. It's somewhere floating in the fucking ocean right now.
Especially if it's just a group of pirates that decided to just basically, like, bury it at one spot. You know, like, because usually when you hear, like, Treasure Islands and stuff, there's all these different codes that you have to solve on this map to find this and that. If they just decide, hey, let's just bury it here, like, you
plus,
know.
they could have, they didn't mention this at all, but they could have put it in a cave somewhere. Yeah. And then with the water levels rising, it could have either been drowned out or it could have just been collapsed on top of, so.
Yeah. Or, you never know. Or honestly, just because of the fact that it rose, like, 2 acres a year, the water, it could have been swept away, like the box or whatever could have broken open, and whatever treasure that they had is probably long gone, mm-hmm. not even near the island anymore. But yeah, so I put I'm definitely not gonna say it's fake. I was definitely gonna say that it's plausible that some pirates came out to the uninhabited part of the island and buried their treasure. And obviously with the with the water rising so much, it's definitely likely that it went underwater. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and with the ghost and everything like that, the skeleton that randomly came out of the bushes, that could have just been someone scaring them away because they were just there. And like, all right, well, I found the skeleton. Some guy who's like not even worried about it being a skeleton just picks the thing up and just like shows it out of the bushes.
Scaring
them away. Like, hey, you're getting too close to where I think this place is. I'm going to scare you away because I don't want you stealing it.
Yeah, even if it's not like a ghost. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I couldn't really find any photos of the park. I didn't really like go into like crazy, like a mad hunt trying to find it. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't really find anything in the park because I wanted to see like what was actually out there. Like, did they have to dig a bunch to get, like, because it's 1915, so I don't know what kind of amusement parks were there. Like, was a Ferris wheel around? I'm not sure. I'm assuming
no idea.
So.
I don't know. even if not, like, even if it's just, like, a regular Viking-style fair to where you're just, like, throwing axes at wood and stuff like that, with wood construction, you're eventually going to find something if you're trying to clear out the area, you know?
And then I said, or it could just be a spooky story told by Eugene to get his name in the paper, but who knows? It makes for a good ghost story for when you're out boating on the Mississippi Gulf Coast at night.
Yeah,
trying to figure out, you know.
Yeah.
Wondering if it's a spooky ghost or not.
Yeah. Like I said, it's probably extremely spooky since there's not that much said about it. Just those two instances of the skeleton and then the multiple times with the flame. The skeleton was probably literally just somebody just trying to scare them away, like a prank. It probably wasn't even a real skeleton. It was probably a fake skeleton with them being terrified in the middle of the night, you know.
Because there's no head, so you can't really say, like...
Yeah, you can't, you know.
It's a human.
Yeah, and even, like I said, even with the blue flame, which I still have to test out, I mean, that's still a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So...
There's so many... One, it was so long ago, so there's so many, like, details that are either lost or forgotten, or just the fact that it you know, to me, it's only two people that accounted this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both from the same family, so it's like... Not, like, trying to disprove them as being liars or anything.
Yeah.
But you can't always take stuff at face value. No. Like, you kind of got to dig it, you know, dig in.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're lying. I'm definitely not, because you never know.
Yeah, you don't know. But yeah, and just like with all the other treasure islands that Do you plan on talking about the other treasure islands?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
I know there's a lot of them now, apparently.
Yeah, now you know.
Yeah, now I know.
But yeah, there's like Captain Kidd. He's a famous pirate. There's Blackbeard. I'm not sure. Is he real or not?
Blackbeard? Yeah, he
was real, right?
Yeah, he was real. It's just what they said he did isn't what he did. Okay. So, like, he didn't set his, like, beard on fire. He didn't do it. He didn't kill anybody. He literally had a vow to not kill people.
Oh.
That was one of his things. The only time, that's why he always, like, gave them the option. Either you jump off the boat, I'm not killing you, you're going to drown, I'm not doing that, or you join my crew.
Yeah.
It was one of those, and it was all based off fear, but that's a whole other episode.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing, but yeah. So.
That'd be a really cool episode, though. I would be really into that, because, like, even, I know this is going to sound really, like, really geeky, but when I played Assassin's Creed, Black Flag, and Blackbeard got involved, I was like, oh, no way.
Yeah. Pirates are really interesting, and it's definitely a lot of places have a lot of pirate lore, and it's, you know, it's a myth that's probably not going to stop being around, you know?
And I've also noticed with, like, a lot of the times whenever I've done, like, a LARP, if anyone knows what LARP is, it's live action role play where, like, the Renaissance Fair, where people dress up in costumes, they have, like, those fake sword fights. I think I already said this, but a while ago we had a group in LARP. If that makes any sense. A LARP group. There we go. I've noticed that mine, every time I try to create a character of some kind for me to persona. What happened? Anyway. But every time I tried to create a character of some kind with some sort of persona, I always went more towards the pirate route without even realizing I was doing it. Because every sword that I've had has had a handguard, which is like typical of a cutlass.
Mm-hmm.
And every outfit I've had looks like a pirate outfit without me even intentionally trying to be a pirate. No matter what, for some reason, my outfits turn out piratey. I don't know why. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. But yeah, so hopefully you guys liked this episode. It might have been a shorter one than usual, but, you know, it's just a little legend. And, yeah.
It's a fun little thing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really interesting.
Like I said, it blew my mind.
Yeah, the whole, there's more than one island? All right, well, if you guys liked it, make sure you, you know, follow, subscribe, thumbs up, comment, wherever. We're on Spotify, YouTube, I do TikToks all over the place. I'm all over the place,
But didn't you just say you started a, what did you start?
I started a Twitter, too.
A Twitter, okay, yeah. That's still in progress, but.
I'm just posting the videos, or the podcast, just so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yep, catch you later.